up that diesel. Let's go diesel.
Hey, first things first, man. This season, it ain't like another season preview we've ever done on this podcast before. Because I think, like, the first thing we have to talk about when we go talk about the 2023 Commanders is all people at the top of the organization that have a lot of stake. Like, first, obviously, Josh Harris and Mitchell Rales and Magic Johnson taking over for Daniel Snyder. Not to mention, Ron Rivera is in a pivotal year in his career. Not to mention, Eric Bieniemy is here. In a kind of prove it sort of situation, trying to make his next step towards being a head coach. It's just like, before you even get to the players on the field, just like the entire scenarios and personnel around the football team, just there's a lot in the air. It's a weird feeling, but oddly, I don't really feel like worried about it. I think everything is the way it's supposed to be, and there's not really anything that's like distracting. I guess in a way, it can only help us. It'll be a benefit. Y'all hear what I'm saying?
Well, basically, you're saying we're being ran like a real football organization or professional football team right now, because you don't have an owner at the top with a scandal every other day. That's what you're getting at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we've spent years upon years talking about committees, reports, scandals. Ron's trainer had the DEA popped up at the Redskins Park at one point when it was Redskins Park. It just, I don't know, man. It was a lot that was not related to the football field. And it's kind of refreshing to just be sitting here a couple of days away from opening day, and we're actually going to be talking about actual games and not if our owner is going to get voted out or what report is the Washington Post going to release following the game the following Monday. Like, it's just refreshing.
Or, oh wow, we had some good news, which means tomorrow someone's going to put out some bad news.
Facts.
Right. I think, I see what you're saying, Paul, because this is the first season, well, I would say, this is the first season since Jay's, oh, actually, I won't even count Jay's last season as that, because Jay had no power, right? Like, Jay knew he was getting fired. It was done before the season started. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Got to win games, period. That's for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Period. There's no gray area here. Whether you're Ron Rivera, whether you're the Martys, Eric Bieniemy, this team needs to perform. It has been very rare that that has been the sole focus of the football team.
Yep.
Which? Period. Nobody wants to hear excuses. Nobody wants to hear, well, this is the reason why, oh, we came so close. That will not be okay. Period. You need to win football games. You need to find a way. Even if it's ugly, you go 10-7 ugly. No one's going to hold that against you. You need to win games.
Cliff, let alone a franchise that ain't won double digits in I don't know how long. I don't care how they get it done. Just, you need to get it done.
Exactly.
Period.
And I don't remember the last time that it was a you need to win games environment that wasn't like clouded in drama.
Mm-hmm.
That made it possible for those wins to even be. When we've had the coaches going into the situation Rivera's going into, usually the writing was already on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that was like, oh, well, Jay's going to be fired. Probably not making it to Thanksgiving. Like, we knew these things. Rivera could go 10-7 and still lose his job. Who knows whether he's going to keep it? But he knows you need to have a hell of a season.
Yep.
Sam Howell. Yeah. This is potentially Sam Howell's only chance.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially EB's only chance to showcase himself again.
Right. Because, I mean, unfairly for EB, this is where he got to be at. Yep. Even though did y'all see that clip of the Cardinals coach?
Talking about practice.
That man had the energy of a young Mike Pence.
Like, the fact that EB has to even be in D.C. in order to, like, get a shot is absurd. But he, same for him. So it's going to be, and then we got guys in contract years. The whole team thinks that they should be winning games. So we haven't really had a team like this. It's going to be very interesting, especially since the emphasis is on starting fast.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot at stake for a lot of people in this organization. It seems like the only person where a lot isn't at stake would be, I guess, Josh Harris, because he's going to get this little grace period. But I also push back on some of these national pundits that say, oh, no matter what happens with the Commanders in 2023, their season's a success because Daniel Snyder's been ousted, and I hear why they would say something like that. But also understand, let's be clear, if this thing with Sam Howell goes the way we hope it might, you have a 3-year window to win something significant. We can't afford to waste a year being like, oh, well, Dan Snyder's gone, so let's just go 6-11. No, we got to win these games now.
Not even just national, Paul. That's local, too, because you got local reporters that will remind you, especially sports talk, that will say, we need to remember, regardless of how the season goes, the win is Snyder not being here. Okay, yes, we all understand. We didn't like Dan. He's gone. We got our team back, but let's keep in mind why we're all here. We're all here to see this team win football games. So.
Yeah, and that's off the field. There are plenty of mediocre owners who don't win games. So, okay, the three of us had this conversation previously. Look at the team that Snyder got.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
Right? Like, I don't care what anybody says. You can never act like someone can't fuck something up.
Yep.
Okay? Let me ask y'all this. Is there a scenario where you would consider it unfair if Rivera got fired?
No.
There's no scenario where you're like, wow, y'all really fired this man given blank, blank. So let's say they went 12-5.
Yeah, I was about to say that, Cliff. Yeah.
Powell played great. Team had a great season. They make it to the divisional playoffs. They fire Rivera. Clean out the whole staff.
But
you would
that,
be like, oh, okay, cool.
But with that, are you firing him and promoting Eric Bieniemy because he's showing you he's made the connection with the quarterback?
Or you took the words out of my mouth.
Firing everyone, you know what I'm saying, Paul? Like,
how is that assumed to be automatically the right move?
I feel you. We don't know if that's the right move, but I don't know. Go ahead, Paul.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off. You go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
All I was going to say is this would take a lot of, treading lightly to not upset the balance of the locker room. Because if they go 11-5 or 12-5, like you said, you can imagine this team is looking pretty good. Like, the players are happy. The organization is happy. To get rid of Ron under those circumstances, you would have to be sure that the offense is looking good and that the team will continue to function post Ron Rivera with Eric Bieniemy stepping into that lead role. I don't know, man. I hear what you're saying. I don't know, because Josh could want somebody different. And if he thinks it's Eric, if he's watching from his booth, figures out that Eric is the secret sauce to this shit going well.
Yeah, but see, that's dangerous, Paul.
See, it is dangerous.
That's dangerous
Snyder when territory. We start,
because I've noticed with the fan base that there is sort of a collective effort to give Rivera no credit for anything.
That's that Twitter world, Cliff.
Like, it's Twitter, it's sports talk radio, it's with the Jones. There's an effort to give him zero credit.
So, I don't give a fuck. Twitter's not a real place. Word of Dave Chappelle. Go on.
Right. Right. But even whether it's national media, wherever, I say that because people will say in one breath, wow, this roster hasn't been this good since blank, blank, blank. They give Rivera zero credit for that.
Facts.
Zero. Listen, I'm not going to make it a race thing. I don't know what it is. For whatever reason, he is seen as being less than competent for some reason in a way that irks me.
Yeah.
In a way that I know they would never do that with, like, Sean Payton. They wouldn't even do that with, like, Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
Like, real shit. John Fox. Like, if the team wins 12 games in a playoff game and you fire him,
I don't know if I'm with
sending
that.
A terrible signal.
Yep. Y'all know I'm one of Rivera's biggest critics, but for a team that has not won double-digit games in quite some time, if you go out there with the first-year starting quarterback and win 12 games, I'm not okay with just firing the person that's in charge of the situation. If you want to bring in somebody in the front office to help the Marty's, or, you know what I'm saying, have your own little special advisor, so-called.
But why the Marty's need help?
I'm saying, like, if Josh Moore wants to bring in, like, an analytic guy, like, hey, guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, not completely white, clean house, but owners are going to bring in their people.
Let me ask you a question.
I personally would not be comfortable with removing Ron Rivera for 12 or 5 years. Even I wouldn't be happy with that. That's absurd, in my opinion.
Let me ask you a question. Let me give you a multiple choice. What do you think is more likely a conversation us having here in 6 months? A, Ron is still here. B, Ron gets fired. C, Ron resigns. And that number C, that the letter C option could be him resigning to, you know, ride off in the sunset, or he's taking a position in the front office. Because let's not forget that we have been kind of noticing that Ron has been more of a CEO than a day-to-day head coach. If he thinks that either Del Rio, which is unlikely, or like Eric or somebody from the outside could be a better suit to take this job and be the rigors of the grind that is being an NFL head coach, and he can just watch from the booth next to Josh and them, count that in the same little section. So which one would you guys choose?
Yeah, but remember, they removed all his front office titles. His only title now is head coach.
Yeah.
This is his last head coaching job. That man is not going to come out here, have a good season, and then say, you know what? Because that means you're never coaching again.
Right. Probably.
No, this is it for Rivera. If whether fired, resigned, or whatever, you're never going to be a head coach again. They don't hire defensive head coaches of your age to be head coaches, period. Right? So this is it.
To that point, too, though, Cliff, you go 12 and 5 and we fire him, I can see somebody hiring that man. You get fired off a 12 and 5 year, I don't know, man. I'm stuck on that because I just don't think that would be a wise decision.
Answer your question, Paul. I don't know. I mean, fired is the most likely scenario.
I would say that,
I was going to say resigns.
I mean,
Josh doesn't have to fire him. You know, you have a good year. Josh has Ron coming to his office. Hey, Ron, we had a good season. Looking forward to going a different direction. Not trying to fire you. Let's just part ways. You want to just step down? You want to resign? You know, make it look good in the public. I don't see him.
Well, you better cut that check, though.
Oh, he's going to get the check.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, like, I think that him stepping into the front office, it could be a likely scenario. Like, let me just throw this out there. I'm not saying this is at all likely. But let's just say that Ron leads us to a good year. Let's say they go 11-6. They go to the playoffs. Let's say they even fucking win a game. Offense looks great. Defense looks amazing. Ron Rivera, who is, you know, off the heels of recovering from cancer, this is a young man's game. Ron Rivera is the fourth oldest head coach in the league. I can't do this every day anymore. I still want to be part of this team. You know, matter of fact, didn't he say a couple days ago in an interview, I forgot who it was, that he's like, if they go 11-5 next year with a team that I put together, I'm okay with that. Maybe he takes that same mentality to the front office.
He had been fired this year, was the context.
Let's say,
the context was like, what if you got fired and the team still did well next year?
But that's true. But at least he's entertaining the idea that he might not be the head coach next year. But what if they approach him with, like, I mean, you hired the Martys. Yo, Jason Wright, I don't know if you hired him per se, but you were here when he arrived. Everything's going smoothly now. You seem to have a rapport with the team. You have a rapport with the front office. Let's stay this ship. If you want to step back and just be the official CEO and not just the head coach,
CEO. But this is what I'm saying, Paul. How are we going to have this success I was the person who ate all the fucking bullets for 4 years.
And then went 12-5 and you removed me from my job.
Then we start winning and then you reassigned me. I'm supposed to just be like, yeah. Cool?
That ain't.
Also, Paul, I don't know if he's entertaining it. He was already a part of an owner purchasing a team and firing his ass. He knows the writing's on the wall. So you got to win.
But that's exactly why I'm saying that. If the alternative is, all right, you know that the owner wants his own guy, right? A 12-5 scenario changes things, obviously. But let's say they go 10-7. I'm giving you a chance to stay in the game. You get to be part of this organization, but we're going to hire Eric to run things day to day. I'm not saying it's out of the question. I'm not saying it's silly. I'm just saying like that. I think that's within the realm of a possibility.
I think it's in the realm of possibilities, but for me, when it comes to this league, that scenario only seems to happen to certain kinds of coaches, man. That would not be like to me. I would consider it, and I'm not some Rivera caper. This would be unfair to that man. That's all. Like, people can have all their issues with Rivera all they want. They can dislike some of the things he says. That man came in here, took this job over other jobs. The Cowboys wanted him, remember? Right? One of the teams wanted him. He came here, he took bullets for the org. I can only imagine what a shit show it has been behind the scenes, right? Like the shit that has happened football wise that we don't even know about because Rivera doesn't leak shit everywhere, right? He kind of cleaned up, not kind of, he cleaned the fucking org up. You don't even see leaks like that anymore.
Yeah, no, right? Absolutely.
Like when is the last time we had a sources say team, we don't have that shit anymore. He cleaned that fuckery up.
It's because they found Bruce's brother.
Yeah, straight up. The roster, everybody acknowledges the roster is as good as it's been since blank. We have as much young talent as we've had since blank. Players are developing. Oh, we haven't had this many players develop since blank. Look at this guy. Oh, Derek Forrest. We don't think he can play. Comes out, he can play. For us to then turn around after, if we went 10-7, that would be our best season in years.
Mm-hmm.
To turn around and fire that man is the act of a shitty org, in my opinion. If that is the way that would play out to me, that is a shitty organization. It's actually the kind of thing the Sixers would do, frankly.
Mm.
Well, who's in charge of the Sixers?
And so...
Well.
Like, I really think listen, we don't know which way the season's going to go. I think people are optimistic. But we got to start giving Ron some credit because things have fucking changed. And he has been the fucking spearhead of that. He has been running the football operations. We don't have fucking knuckleheads all over our roster. All right? You'll see our players like out partying and hammered all the time. Fucking day before games. Our team is mature with fucking actual all-pro level players. We haven't had any of that. If they hit on Sam Howell and you fire Rivera, you've done an injustice because that Rivera trade for the Howell trade would be the biggest trade we've made probably since the Ricky Williams trade.
Facts.
Last year, the first round pick from fucking 2021, the fans booed. Now everybody fucking loves him. They don't give the coach any credit for that. So people gotta pick a side, man. Pick a side. If you think things are going well and you think the team is improving, you need to give Rivera some credit. If the team comes and has a good season this year and overachieves, and then you fire Rivera and you're like, well, we'll just promote the enemy. That's the shit the Giants did with McAdoo.
Also, like you said though, Cliff, the assumption that EB would be the one to just get promoted, why? I don't know why we're all just assuming that. I know we're not saying us on this pod, but a lot of the fan base has kind of transitioned to that, and there's no guarantee that Josh would do that. People just need to be mindful of that. You don't know what he's thinking. We don't know his idea. We don't know his plan. So let's not get too ahead of ourselves. That's all I'm
saying. One thing that I will say about Rivera that people are very unfair with, like you mentioned, Cliff, people don't want to give him credit for building this roster up. Yes, he has a couple notable misses, especially at quarterback. Jamie Davis is a guy that they also signed him, especially since he was a linebacker, and we've given him a hard time too. But I'm looking at the RLEDs from the Redskins opening day roster in 2019. There's literally only, I'm counting right now, four players left from that team. Now you have the best roster you've had since, pick a year, 05, 99, whatever it is, a long-ass time. Who gets credit for that? Is he not the GM head coach? Did he not hire the GM here? Like, you got to give this man his fucking credit for building what appears to be a competitive-ass roster when 4 years ago, you went 3-13.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was fucking buns. You trotted out Case Keenum, Adrian Peterson, the likes of Eric Flowers and Kelvin Hart on opening day. You won three games. Now you're the best team in a generation. Like, come on now.
You're making me have flashbacks. Lord have mercy.
So, so that's all I'm saying, man. Like, we gotta, nobody's saying be appreciative, but we gotta put a little bit more respect
on Rivera's name. Give credit where credit is due.
Okay. I understand he has his gaffes. He says some things sometimes that frustrate people. But they treat that man like he's dumb. That shit bothers me a lot. Because I've never seen him treat a white coach like that for real. And Rivera's one of those guys who it took a long time for him to get a head coaching job.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
And they kind of treat him. They treat him like he's not intelligent. That shit irks me. Just irks me.
No, you make a fair point. You make a fair point. Fair point, man. I think that I know we spent a lot of time on Rivera in this little segment, but yeah, you're right. The fans have been unfair to him. I think we probably have been unfair to him too. I think it is mostly just the PR nightmares that he is seemingly putting himself in every single week. Maybe nightmares unfair, but he says the wrong thing, and sometimes he contradicts himself. Sometimes he makes a mess, and he has to clean up the next day. But if that's the worst thing about him, doing pretty daggone good as far as head coach is what.
Yeah, bro. 100%.
Right. This man is well-respected. He's loved by his players. Like, the motherfuckers talk about this man like he's king. And, you know, I mean, for all his gas, man, the man still got the fire. He still want to be here, like you guys were saying. He still want to get up every day and dedicate 16 hours to these men and women. Like, that's admirable. I'll fucking take that shit.
Yeah.
Also, last thing I'm going to say, my fault, was the 53 believes in Coach Rivera.
Right.
Mm. We've had several scenarios where we've gone into seasons or after 1 month where that roster, or they've checked out. You know what I'm saying? This team, they believe in Ron. They believe in his plan. And to that point, last thing I'm going to say about that too is give Martin and Marty some credit. They've done a hell of a job. And I've seen in the Twitter world, people talk about they're not being aggressive enough. They're not making any moves on the waiver wire. Like, a lot of y'all think this shit is Madden. When in reality, they deserve a lot of credit as well because they've been a part of drafting those players. Mm-hmm. A lot of the Jahan Dotsons of the world that a lot of this fan base shitted on when he was drafted. Believe me, I still got the receipts. So I'm glad you said that. We need to give them more props for what they've done. And I don't know. That 12-5 clip. They go 12-5. They better not fire nobody. I don't give a fuck.
To your point, Corey, I think we've seen Ron operate long enough to understand that, you know, he's not going to make any splashes in free agency. He might not draft your guy in April. He might not draft the guy that you think is going to be the best player in that draft. I mean, you don't know anything. Neither do we. We're just three guys on the podcast. But what frequently happens with Ron is his players are better in year two, year three, year four. People develop and become stars. Like, look at John and Deron. I think they're all really good players a couple of years ago. Now John Allen is a superstar, and I would argue that Deron is on the heels of becoming the same. Like, that happened under his watch. Harris became a star under his watch. Like, he drafted Dotson. My bad. Man, go ahead, Corey.
No, you good. Because I didn't even cut you off. What I was going to say was, before people get into your mentions talking about these guys are giving them credit when they've ignored the O-line, I'm not saying they haven't had downfalls. Obviously, the O-line talent is lesser than what it was when they first got here, I would say, but you still got to give them credit for what they've done overall in the roster.
I mean, listen, the O-line, sorry about that. The O-line Yes, it is kind of a mess. But let's go back 4 years ago. You brought in Eric Flowers to replace Trent Williams, who didn't come back. Chase Roulier got hurt. You know, that's not something that you can help. Brandon Sheriff was always going to leave. He was always going to leave. And Morgan Moses just got old. Like, they've done the best they can with what they've been given in the meantime. You were lucky enough to get Leno, right? That you drafted Cozman. He still looks like a pretty good player on the interior. Yeah, like, yes, it's a mess, kind of. But it was a mess 4 years ago. At least now it's stable.
But it was only a mess last year. See, that's what I'm saying. There's revisionist history. Because going into last season, all the people would ever fucking talk about was Matsko.
Mm-hmm.
And how the O-line was always overachieving.
Yep.
Right? It's only last year that the O-line has been bad. The O-line
Hold
just...
Hold on. Hold on, Cliff. It sounds like a vacuum in the background. Hold on. Y'all hear that, Drake? What's that?
I hear it.
Paul, it's you
Paul. Hear it? I don't hear it, no.
It sounds like a fucking vacuum in the background.
Really?
Yeah, it's gone.
I don't know what the fuck that was.
But up until last year, the O-line was not considered this huge problem. People were praising John Maskow. People even got a little upset when Maskow got let go by Bieniemy. Right? I just thought it needed to be said going into like the season preview. There's optimism about the team, but nobody wants to give that credit to anyone. It's almost like they want to credit Snyder leaving for the roster being better. And it just doesn't work like that. It's – when is the last time you were this optimistic going into a season?
I haven't answered that question, but it's a kind of a two-sided answer. Like, probably last year, but – I am more confident in this team being good. I don't remember the last time I was this confident that my team was going to be, like, solid. Like, a lot of the times in the past where you're like, okay, this team could go 9-7, 10-6, whatever, it's a lot of, like, wishing and hoping. Like, I know that we're solid. We are a good team. We have a lot of solid players, and they're well-coached. Like, I believe in that.
But also, does that make any sense? Doesn't some of the optimism come from the draft pick of Sam Howell and the unknown?
I'm also confident in Sam. I think it has a lot to do with it, too. He can do things that no quarterback we've had in the past 4 or 5 years can do. And I believe in the play design that Eric Bieniemy is going to bring, and I'm confident in the skill position receivers around him and the depth. I don't know.
Well, somebody's got to get some credit for that. But like we said in the beginning, it's put up or shut up time. And that's just the reality of it. Last year, we blew a playoff spot last year. Right? And there's like criticism of Rivera for not starting Hal earlier. But that's just like disregards winning games, which is like something people do in American professional sports all the time. It's just like disregard what it means to have an 8-8-1 season versus a 4-13 season. So they're like, well, your draft picks higher. It's like, well, yeah, but you're a bunch of losers. Like, you can't ignore what it means to be losers as an org. We've had teams here where it's like, you niggas is losers. So let's see what happens. Look at that Bills game this year. A couple of years ago, we played the Bills. We had no fucking shot. We knew going into the game, you got no shot. You can get smoked. I don't feel that way this year. That's not to say we're going to win the game, but I don't feel like, oh, y'all beating us by 3 tutties.
Basically, we're not going into a Sunday clip expecting to get torched.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, we've had many Sundays like that. I feel you.
The floor is way higher. The floor is way higher. Who would you say has more at stake this year? Ron Rivera or Eric Bieniemy? And before you answer, just remember that Ron, for whatever happens to Ron this year, you know, he has 2 coaching MVPs. He's been to a bowl. They can never take that away from him. If Eric don't get it popping this year, he may never get a chance.
I mean, I would lean EB just for the simple fact of what you just said. Like, he's here for a reason because he's unfortunately, he has to come here to get out of the shadow of Andy Reid to prove that he can call plays or be the leader of the offense to get a head coaching gig. Like you said, Ron's been in the Super Bowl. He's been a head coach on two different organizations. Like, maybe it is the end of the road here. We don't know if he could potentially get another head coaching position, but he's been a head coach. EB has never had that opportunity, and this is his time to shine. So for me, it would be EB.
Yeah, because Ron's had a career.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Regardless of how this season ends, he's had a coaching career.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I would hope that neither of them are in a position at the end of this year to get fired. Best case scenario is that we have a hard decision to make about how to keep Eric. Let me throw y'all another hypothetical. Let's say
offense is great this year. Corey, Paul, we got Paul. You guys, we gotta remember, this is America, Jack. Assuming that because Hal has a good season means EB will get a head coaching job is faulty. Yeah. That's all I will warn people. He shouldn't be in this scenario. So all bets are off. There's no reason he shouldn't have a head coaching job already.
Yeah. So there is a scenario, Cliff, where him and Hal are on the same page. We play well. They go, they become a playoff team, and he still don't get a motherfucking job.
Right. For whatever reason. That year, they'll say, well, we're looking for young defensive white defensive coordinators this year.
Yep.
That's what they do. So every time they try to change it up, what's the hot thing they want? What's the new pink stove? One year, we want the guy closest to the play caller.
Mm-hmm.
You can work with McVay and not call plays, and we'll hire you as a head coach.
Facts.
Yeah.
Because we know it's not the play calling thing.
Yeah.
So I am not going to assume, and I guarantee the enemy not assuming that either. Because he's the only one that's had to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Matt Nagy got a job. What play he call?
And wouldn't be surprised if he got another one.
Right, before he got one. Exactly.
Yep.
Mm-mm.
Fucking Shane Steichen got a head coaching job off of one season.
Mm-hmm.
One season. So we know what Eagles it is.
Eagles fans were so boosted to get rid of the boy Gannon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just watching that clip from this week of him just up there sounding like a youth minister in front of his team trying to fire for a group of grown men. I'm like, how the fuck does Eric Bieniemy not have a job? How?
I mean, we could all kill him. Go ahead.
No, all I was going to say is, like, the only thing that I've heard negatively about Eric Bieniemy is that he may or may not know how to call plays, but he's great with the media. He's great motivating his players, right? Despite what you hear about him rubbing some folks the wrong way, you know he's going to get every drop of talent out of the roster that you give him. But somebody like Gannon can be up there sounding like young Mike Pence in front of his team. Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, but you know, my thing is, Paul, my thing with when it comes to this kind of stuff is it like goes back to the Chris Rock joke, right? MLB wasn't integrated when Jackie Robinson made it. It's not integrated till they're bad black baseball players. Bieniemy shouldn't have to be the best fucking head coach in order to become a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
There should be shitty black coaches, mediocre black coaches we make fun of.
Uh-huh.
That's how the shit's supposed to be. That's how you know it's fucking equal.
Yep.
There needs to be a black Shane Steichen who just is all of a sudden a head coach. And we're like, will we ever see a black Jonathan Gannon? I supremely doubt it.
No, so, I don't think so.
Like, that's the thing for someone like him. Remember, with the bingo caller, he was in the same scenario, wasn't he, in the 90s? The bingo man, that's what happened to him.
I mean, when you got good black coaches like Jim Caldwell, for some reason, they lose jobs after winning double digits.
Right, lose jobs.
Playing field ever even.
Right. So they'll, because what is the reason that other people have been rehired and not Jim Caldwell? It'll be the same reason why if Sam Howell plays well, EB will somehow maybe end up without not getting that coaching job. Or for whatever reason, no one got fired that year.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's
all. Yeah, Cliff.
Your point. Yep.
There's always something.
Yep.
They found a reason not to hire him before. So now he got to coach a fifth round pick to get a job? What the fuck type of shit is this?
Yep.
What the fuck?
Hey, that's some good shit though, because ain't no fucking guarantee even gets a job after this shit.
Yeah, like,
and that shit is fucked up. That's fucked up, man. It's fucked up.
The fact and that he's really, here look, there's go, should tell look, us that that's, there's no guarantee.
Guarantee that we're going to win some games. Or be, but if we do, I can really see a scenario where he's back here again as the offensive coordinator. If Ron keeps his job, I can really see that. And then we're going to have a whole other offseason people talking about why didn't Eric Bieniemy get hired. I can see that.
Like, the scenario I think is most likely is Rivera. If we have a good season, is Rivera does him a solid. Right? Because Rivera's talked about, like, how he's viewing this year as, like, a mentorship year for him and EB. And
interesting. You think he did do a solid and step down and he gets promoted?
Yeah. And I feel like part of that might even have been part of the conversation Rivera had with Andy Reid.
But we just don't know what Josh is thinking, though. That's no guarantee.
We don't. But that's why it's got to come down to winning.
Facts.
And
facts.
If they win games, we will know what kind of owner Josh Harris is going to be by how he handles it.
I mean, him and Mitchell Rails did tell us they're in this is the long run. No, you know, Snyder-esque quick decisions, you know what I'm saying? Trying to get an understanding of where the team is. Not just where the org is. We know they got a lot of shit to do from the front or at the top. But as far as football, roster, team, coaching, like, I'm hoping they play the long game. I'm not saying give Rivera 2-3 years to figure this shit out, but just don't make no fucking drastic decisions, especially if we're in a situation where they win 11 or 12 games, something we haven't done since I was in fucking grade school. Hey, man, just you got to ride it out, man. Just ride it out.
We're going to see. Before I keep going, Corey, you got to leave in a few minutes. Do either of you have time tomorrow to do the Cardinals? We can just finish this joint out and I can let this joint go. We can do a quick Cardinals joint tomorrow. So I know you got to run and it's getting close to the kids' bedtime over here. So I might got to jump in like 15 minutes, my damn self.
I mean, I could probably do that. What time would you do it though? Because I got a fantasy draft tomorrow night and I'm trying to hit the gym tomorrow.
Yeah, me too. I mean, no, I could, you know, do it at work. I could do it. I got to work tomorrow. I'm in the office, but I can do it. I'm free all day, and I can do it after work too. So,
what are you looking like for tomorrow?
You have a 30-minute window we could do this in?
Yeah, I can find 30 minutes tomorrow.
Yeah, I can find that. Yeah, for sure.
At any time during the day, it's straight. That's fine. All right. Then let's do that tomorrow. Let's just finish this joint out. I just want to talk about the offense really quick. And I kind of want to talk about the offense separately from Howell, because I think we've talked a lot about Howell these past couple weeks. What means success for you for this offense? There's a lot that we don't know because I don't think we've seen as much as Eric Bieniemy intends on showing in during the summer. I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised by what we see on Sunday and moving forward. How we have no idea what he's going to look like. And the offense has been so bad. We're only asking for so much to make this a viable playoff team. So if I had to ask you guys, what's a successful season for this offense? It could be a ranking. It could be showing this. It could be a development here. What comes to mind first for you guys?
Successful season for the team. I mean, for me, it's hard to separate how from that because, you know, success is the young quarterback showing that he can actually, you know, lead this offense and be productive and look like a player that we can build around. If you want me to put a number in it, I would say if this offense can finish in the top half of the league, like, I'm not asking top 10, but if they could be anywhere from 11, 16, 17, I would probably take that because with the way this defense is expected to play and having a average to above average offense, we should be cooking some shit. And with the playmakers that we have, we have the playmakers there to make plays and put some points on the board, which is something we haven't done around here in a long time. Damn, Paul. Hold on. I'm thinking.
There's one stat that I just came across that, you know, I was just kind of had it on my mind the past couple days just thinking about what we can do to make this team better, right? I think the defense still got to be good. Will they regress a little bit towards the mean and be not as good? It's possible.
Don't even give them that.
I don't want to give them that, but I'm just saying if that happens, whatever. I think if we could just have less three and outs, like, I'm not saying we got to jump 10 points per game. Like, it'd be nice if we did, and, you know, I guess it's possible to jump from the teens to, like, the mid-20s, like, add, like, 8 more points a game. But I think we were what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I mean, shit, adding 8 more points per game, that's about 2 or 3 more wins, ain't it?
I mean, yeah, adding 2 or 3 more points, it would be great. Like, if you could jump from, last year we were, points per game, 18.9.
That's pathetic. I think
if you jump to, like, 23, you'll win a lot more games. But also, you were 6th in the NFL in 3 and outs on offense, right?
Mm.
We got to find a way to fucking move this ball. And if we can't score, we got to pin them deep and let this defense hunt. You got to help them out in a way that you're not giving the defense the ball with 50 yards to go or 20 yards to go for a field goal. I mean, help the offense in that way by giving up less. Move this ball a little bit. Like, go ahead.
I'll keep cutting you off. My fault, dog.
No, I'm done with my point. Just, I think if they could average a few more points a game, it's important. I also think it's important that they just sustain more drives. And I know that they were very high. I think they actually were first in time of possession last year. But they also were very high in three and outs, which is confounding because they're two conflicting ideologies almost to a degree. But I think they got to find a way to move the ball more. Maybe that doesn't mean more time off the clock because it's going to be a faster-paced offense, but they need to move the ball more.
You just took the words out of my mouth, what I was about to say. It's not about just milking the clock because our offense has basically been predicated on, hey, let's hold on to the ball. Let's, you know, milk the clock. Let's try to grind it out. An offense that, yes, less three and outs, that, yes, you can flip the field. You could potentially score in a couple plays. Like, again, like you said, I'm not asking them to score 24 to 27 points a game. Like, that's not what I'm asking for. But I'm asking for a better production with your drives. You know what I'm saying? Less three and outs where you put your defense in a bad situation. Flipping the field. I don't know where we were at as far as turnover rankings last year, but minimize the amount of turnovers that we have as an offense. Don't put the defense in a bad situation because we know we're going to be relying on the defense. And I'm not giving the defense that window to regress. They have to step up. They have to be what carries this team because that's where all the dogs are at, where most of the dogs are at. It's bag season for a lot of them. They need to carry this team. So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Well, but there are some aspects of the offense changing that is going to impact the defense, right? Us being so focused on time of possession did help the defense last year. I think if they can get to league average,
15, 16, 17,
or even like slightly below league, like we've been one of the worst offenses in the league.
Yeah,
and like batted five. Batted all the important things. Last year we were awful in the red zone, yep. Awful, just awful. We had the ball a lot, didn't score a lot of touchdowns because our drives were just stalling the red zone. We sucked on third down. We sucked running the ball. We sucked passing the ball. So, to me, success for the offense would be if you could get to the 18-20 range, you're a very different team.
Yeah.
Like, there's a big jump from being bottom three.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, be a league average offense. Can you try it?
Yeah. They scored 36 touchdowns last year. The Chiefs, obviously are the Chiefs. They scored 61.
Wow.
I mean, like, they scored 36 touchdowns last year. Just let's pick a team that's not even much better than them. The Seahawks had 44.
Mm.
Right? That's an extra, like 80 points or 60 points. Math is terrible. But it's just like, yo, you are just a slow-paced offense that also doesn't score. So basically what you do is you spend 6 minutes driving 20 yards and then punting it back.
Yeah, that's an empty possession.
That's not how you win games. It's a way you prolong games, and I guess that helps you win. You stay in the game longer, but, I mean, you saw at times down the stretch last year, like, you couldn't score. You couldn't score in the second half versus San Fran. You couldn't score versus the Giants in either game. can score. Well, I guess you did score versus Dallas, but even that Indy game, you had 7 points up until like 2 minutes left, and then you got two like last second drives. That can't be a thing. You gotta be better at that.
You're starting Taylor Heinicke, and to me, the Giants games were a microcosm for the offense for the season.
Yep.
Just summed us up. In one of the games, moving the ball, no problem. Couldn't score. Couldn't finish drives. The other game, it's like, what the fuck is the game plan here? Yep. We already played these guys. Why did we change our game plan?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I've said in the chat a few times, I think it's hard to even downplay the fucking jump from Turner to Bieniemy.
Yeah.
It just can't. I think on a national level, that part has been downplayed some.
Yeah.
I think people liked some of the stuff Scott Turner did, especially that year we won the division. The year we won the division is the year we played the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. I think he got a lot of love that year. Last year was a mess on offense. Like last year, we weren't just hampered by QB play. We were hampered by an offensive coordinator.
Yep.
So we can get to league average. I think that's possible, man.
Right. Also, I'm stealing this from Hoffman and Paulson. I heard this today, but they made a good point. Like, say what you want about Eric Bieniemy. Maybe he doesn't know how to call an offense, and that will, you know, bear itself out in the coming weeks. But there's clearly an attention to detail that's going on here that's palpable. Everybody who has been to camp can see it.
Yep.
We've said for the longest time that not only was Scott Turner's offense boring and predictable, but it also just didn't seem like motherfuckers were on the same page all the time. Like, that alone, just motherfuckers being on the same page at all times, like a organizational shift that we are going to be flawless in the way we execute on offense. Like, that has to be good for a few extra points.
Not even just the same page, Paul. The players actually believe in the offense that that EB's brought in. Like, you could kind of tell based on the way the players have talked. They've mentioned attention to detail, and it's almost as if, like, that shit wasn't a focus the last couple years, which on a professional football team, that's unacceptable. Like,
you know what, though?
And it showed on Sundays.
This play calling stuff, there is there is a conversation about offense in NFL that seemingly just caters to whiteness.
Young, fiery white men.
Like, because they make it seem like calling offensive plays is quantum physics. To me, Scott Turner's biggest problem is he didn't have a lot of experience when we hired him. He was a very inexperienced coach.
Yeah.
Like, Bieniemy has a ton of experience. When people are like, well, can he call plays? It's like, well, he's not calling plays. He's running an offense. It's his fucking offense. I assume he can run it. Right? Like, they sometimes they really try to make the shit. This is about to sound like some fucking Dr. Umar shit. They try to make offense seem so complicated because they want it to seem like only a white man can do it. That's pretty much where I'm at with that shit, man.
Yeah, that ain't just coaching, though, Cliff. That's coaching. That was the QB position.
Mm-hmm.
Take it back to the history. That was the center position, middle linebacker position. That is the way you put it. Yes, that is what football has been based on for many a years. Yeah.
They just try to make play calling seem so damn impossible. Yeah. Fucking Jim Zorn was out here calling plays, man.
Jim fucking Zorn. Maroon and black. Yep.
You know, like, they just, like, EB, what are the qualities that a coach needs? Attention to detail, work ethic, ability to translate things to people in a way they understand.
Yep.
That's really what that shit is about. If people, like, y'all remember the end of last year, the players, like, were openly questioning Scott's game plan, for real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, remember, Logan Thomas was saying to anybody that would listen, hey, offensive buns. Logan was on the bench most of the year, but still could see from the sideline. He was like, hey, man, hey, Scott, what's good?
So, like, yeah, they gotta miss me with the Kenny call play stuff. I've only seen a preseason, and I can tell this person is much better prepared than the last guy.
Oh, yeah.
This don't have nothing to do with nothing. Y'all see we worked out Jamison Crowder today.
Did see that. Just waiting for one of y'all to say it. I did see that.
Return some punts.
That's what I'm thinking.
But he don't got that burst no more.
No, he sure don't.
He don't got that burst, but he probably got more burst than Dax.
Hey, you got to get off Dax back out here. I get it. I bet money, Dax faster than Jameson Crowder right now.
I don't know, though.
10 yards splitting everything.
Shit.
Jameson don't got no hamstrings no more, man. Jones hey, gone.
He could give us a month until Kaz get right on the practice squad. Suck, dog.
Man, listen.
Like, the guy who returned that punt versus Baltimore, that guy's gone.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Oh, you remember that punt return he had in that first game versus the Giants? It was the first Odell versus Josh Norman game. When he had that jump, when he shook, what's the Bama's name that was on Dallas? He was on New York, Dwayne something. Dwayne.
Harris?
Dwayne Harris, yeah. He shook the shot, Dwayne 17. Harris. Went all the way from the left sideline all with the right and probably took that joint like 60 yards. I'm going to send that joint to you guys in the chat because I need you to remember that joint. That was a excellent
Young Crowder was a dog.
Yeah, he was.
That nigga's gone.
Long gone.
Yes, he was.
Like when he housed that screen.
He's only 30 right now, Crowder. He ain't that old.
No, that nigga's hamstrings are 58. Remember he housed that fucking screen versus the Giants? There's chance he could do that
Crowder
now.
Made plays for us, man.
He made so many plays.
My dog.
He was such a nice player.
My fucking dog. Yeah. Definitely was.
Oh, no, I'm sending y'all that shit right now. We can talk about this more in the podcast tomorrow, but maybe Terry's not ready. And they need another guy.
Terry not playing this week, man.
Not
I'm trying
playing
to tell y'all. He's not. He's not playing.
No Terry?
He needs to sit. No. And honestly, I'd rather him sit than rush him out there and re-injure it and miss him until November.
It's Dotson time.
Exactly. Cliff, come on, man. We got to be smart.
Kurt, let's get you the ball. Diami.
Step the fuck up.
Well, we're
playing a fucking XFL team on Sunday.
Because if they don't practice tomorrow, if Terry, Chase, who else is on the – like Logan – if he's going to practice tomorrow, then you might as well just put a DNP.
I don't got Terry Brown.
Has he been taking big contact, though?
Yeah.
Logan been side-fielding it, though.
Yeah.
I think you got to sit these guys. Like, no, we're not going to disrespect the Cardinals, like, completely.
Yeah,
I just joked at their XFL team. But if you're banged up, you sit out this week, man.
Yeah, man. Think long term. This is not – you don't clinch a playoff berth on Sunday. Terry is too important to run out there and re-injure himself and miss 2 to 3 months. Don't be stupid. Please.
Yeah. I would say the same thing for all those dudes. Like, let's be smart. Before we go, let's talk about the defense really quick. They're a group that's so talented, and they were so good last year. And it seems like the defense that Jack the Real is putting in place is a finally like coalescing. Like the people are becoming used to it, and they're thriving in it to a degree. What does success for the defense look like? And again, it could be any metric you want, any look that you want. Like, just go for it. What would a successful run for the defense look like this year?
Top five, DVOA,
nothing less.
Like
Drake boy, top five.
We need turnovers.
Yep.
We need to look like one of the best defenses in the league from start to finish. Period. That's where we've invested everything over there.
Yep.
No excuses.
No excuses. I'm not giving them no room for excuses. You got to step the fuck up. It is time. You drafted two corners to help cause turnovers. It's time. That front line
you four need to play together and take this defense to another level, period. We have not seen all four of them dominate together at once. It's time to do that. Mm-hmm. 90 and 99, it is bag season. Go get your motherfucking money like 93 and 94 did. Jamin Davis, you were a first-round pick. Ain't no more motherfucking excuses. You need to be the leader on the defense and step the fuck up. Period. Cody Barton brought you in. Hey. You got a couple weeks to get it right. If not, Khalid, step up. Like, there's no room for no bullshit. They have to be the leaders. They have to carry the team, especially because you don't know how the offense is going to come out to start the year. They need to be on point from the gate. Ain't no time to be coming out half-assing and trying to get their shit together. They got to get the ball rolling immediately. So top five, yeah. I need you to be top five in turnovers, sacks, all that shit. You got all the pieces. There's no reason not to
What would you say to people that say that they're bound to regress because Jack Del Rio defenses tend to be more up and down? By the way,
what is this? They tend to be up and down stuff.
See, well, I think what they're saying is that Jack Del Rio's defenses typically aren't good in back to back years, dating back to Oakland and his time in Denver and his time in Jacksonville. This is just something that I've observed. It's not like
his time in Oakland.
It's many variables into that, though, right? Like,
let's go ahead and throw out anything that's happened with the Raiders, okay? Because here's the thing, right? That like POV is based off our 2020. What was that? 2021.
Yep. Mm-hmm. When they completely regressed. Yep.
The defense underachieved because we had a fucking free agent corner who's not even in the league anymore.
Mm. Wow.
Last year, our defense didn't take off till when? So they told Bill, take a fucking seat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Right? We signed Bill. We thought it was going to work out. Our defense kind of sucked because of Bill. That's my POV on that.
Yeah, we also have a point.
Good. Now go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it was a point when the front line, the front four, they weren't playing together as a unit. They was out there trying to stat pad, talking about breaking records and shit.
And the D-line coach was clearly an issue.
Yep, facts.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, defenses regress, right? Like, if you're their year-to-year defenses can regress. The difference is this defense is full of players who are entering their prime age.
Facts.
Yep. We aren't relying on a fluke year from some guy from last year who had a fluke season. Mm-hmm. These guys that are in their prime age, these are first-round picks. Right, not some like sixth rounder who got 10 sacks randomly.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, we've invested so much.
Yeah.
Like, there is, I think the only thing that can impact them statistically, like I said when we were talking about the offense, is because the offense might not be as focused on controlling the clock, that might impact the defense. But I see that. Want to hear that is a fucking excuse as to why James Conner had 150 yards on you.
Exact. Thank you, Cliff. Yep. Fuck all that. Don't want to hear it. Offense should not need to have 10, 11-minute drives in order for this defense to succeed. None of that, man.
I feel you. I feel you on that. Listen, I fully expect the offense – or I'm sorry. I fully expect the defense to be just as good, like, fundamentally. Like, they should still be good against the run. I think they should be good against the pass. I think that they have the pieces in all the right spots to thrive. I mean, I think that most teams in the NFL are going towards, like, let's pay the D-line and make sure the pass rush is good. If you could throw some pieces in the back end, then you're fine. And, you know, linebackers are a little bit less important. And that's where we've heavily invested and continue to invest. But I think that we need more game-changing plays, turnovers and sacks especially. You know, just for comparison's sake, we had 43 sacks last year, which is good enough for 12th in the league, that's great. Philly finished first with 70. That's a lot.
Even 43 minus Chase, Paul.
Minus Chase, right.
But
the Chiefs.
Philly was always leading.
Yeah. Philly was always leading. Yeah. 70 is a lot. But, yeah, I'm saying even like the Chiefs at 55 or the Patriots at 54. Like, if you can get approach that number in sacks, Like, it would change a lot of games. Turnovers. Like, we talked about how bad they were in facing, enforcing turnovers. 18 last year. It's only forced 18 in 17 games. Seventh worst in the NFL. I think Dallas led the NFL with 33. You don't have to have 33, but if you can fucking, if you get to 28.
Give me 25.
give me 25 turnovers and 48, 49 sacks. I think that's good enough for an extra two or three wins on top of the offense playing better. Like, obviously these are arbitrary numbers I'm throwing out, but like, you need more plays being made. The defense is great. Yes. I need y'all to fucking ramp it up. You need to step it up a notch.
You need to become a game-altering defense.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. If you guys want to be, if you guys want to actually live up to the hype, because your hype is high, but you can't just be good. You can't be great. You got to fucking wreck these games. That's what we need from y'all.
Yep.
To be the to justify the, all the picks that we spent on y'all and all the money we've continued to throw your way. You can't just be good. You need to lead this fucking team into the future with the game-changing plays and the turnovers and the sacks and the energy. It's all going to be on you guys. It's not there, but...
And it needs to be weekly. It can't be, but you know, they got a good quarterback.
I don't want to hear any of that. Not at all. Nope.
Oh, but you know, they have Josh Allen.
Don't give a fuck.
So you're just going to give up 35?
Yeah, no. That's unacceptable. If you're an elite defense, it don't matter who's on the opposite side of the ball. You attack, make it hell. You control the game. The Niners defense has done it.
Shit. The Bengals did it a couple times. The Bengals did it. Tell me the Bengals
did it. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's time they need to take it up a notch and become elite. Period.